Greetings, everyone, and happy Pride Month to everyone out there from Wandering One Studios. That's right. This is another Wandering One Studios production of a Wandering One podcast brought to you by, of course, Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. This is a very breezy and mild, actually, for this time of year. June 3rd, 2026. I hope you guys are having a great day. Thank you to all the Patreon subscribers, all the people who are following the podcast, and all the wonderful people who have stopped by to bless me over at twitch.tv/linkib. You guys are awesome, and I appreciate you. Thank you to everybody who's interacting with our Blue Sky. So just basically thank all of you guys for making this what it is. And everyone who's listening to the podcast, sharing it is super, super helpful. I really appreciate it. Definitely love your comments and your emails over on Patreon. I think we might have another one to read. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it in before the podcast is done recording, but we'll take a look and see. Had some questions for everybody last week. I don't know if anybody even bothered to write in because I try not to check Patreon just on purpose. You know what I mean? I wait until like the day before the podcast to go and take a peek. And I looked, I'm like, ah, poop, there's nothing there. But somebody said they were going to write in. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll see if that happens. If it does, you'll be hearing it on this episode. If not, we'll wait to the next one. No big deal. But I hope you guys are having a great day. Man, can I tell you, I mean, we know the world's bananas, right? Everything's a little bit loopy and weird. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm cautiously optimistic. So some of you probably heard by now about some of the recent, quote-unquote, restructurings over at CBS, right? For the uninitiated, 60 Minutes was a news magazine that CBS had created decades and decades ago. And it was, you know, for a long time, it was just kind of like, you know, short kind of slice of life stories, sometimes investigative journalism, but they had the opportunity as anchors on CBS to dig in a little bit more to a story than you get in your average news broadcast. Even with 24-hour news networks, slowly, I mean, probably like in the last like decade and a half or so, taking more prevalence in American, you know, news media, 60 Minutes was able to do smaller, more intimate stories to kind of lock in maybe to a story that was gaining some national interest or even international interest and to shine a brighter light into corners of the world that you may not normally get on your local news or even, like I said, the major news outlets, right? The correspondents that have worked at CBS over the years are storied as journalism itself across, you know, across American culture at the very least. But recently, one of the anchors that used to work for CBS at 60 Minutes, Scott Pelley, said that he was calling out CBS's administration, because if you're not familiar with it, CBS is currently under the terrorist regime, to put it, of one Barry Weiss, who, oddly enough, is a lesbian MAGA supporter. I don't know how those two things go together, but apparently that's what she's doing, you know? And, you know, hey, if women can have it all, and she's definitely going for all the wrong things when it comes to MAGA. But yeah, Scott Pelley basically called out Barry Weiss and the administration, saying that he had been ostensibly just kind of like not forced, but fervently encouraged to include actual falsehoods in stories. I mean, he's got a whole letter here, which I won't read, but I can probably just inject that into the podcast notes for this week. So if you want to check it out, you can. This one will be coming from Forbes.com. So I'm going to keep an eye out for that one. But yeah, I mean, he just basically says, I didn't like what they were doing. And they've been doing it for a while. And Barry Weiss is basically the devil. And, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to be part of that anymore. And they made sure they couldn't be a part of it by firing me. And I don't think it's hurting him or anybody else. Like, I think Anderson Cooper might have been a little bummed to leave. But I think people are just looking at the climate over at CBS and going like, nah, we're good. So I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I'm going to read some of the relevant snippets to what I was talking about. He said he's really gone after him pretty hard. It's pretty interesting. This spring, at the end of our 58th season, he says, 60 Minutes grew rapidly with an unheard of 9% jump in viewers on CBS. Goes on to tout more of CBS's stats, you know, number one program in America for decades. The stewardship of our program passed to my colleagues and to me. Our responsibility was to expand energetically into a new age of media technology while preserving the values our audience expects. And then it goes into like another section where he kind of talks about what's happening. This is, by the way, you should read it. It's very masterfully written. Last month, 60 Minutes lost its DNA when our entire senior leadership and two of our best on-air correspondents were cruelly fired without cause. Good people were silenced because they stood up for our audience. They stood for fairness against the forces of political bias. They stood for professionalism against chaos. For my part, new management has instructed me to inject falsehoods and bias into a politically sensitive story. I've been told to include assertions that are unverified. To date, in every case, I have managed to ignore these instructions or refuse them. Recently, politicians have been invited to choose correspondents for interviews on the broadcast. Giving politicians control over 60 Minutes interviews is not how this is done. And he goes, I depart after 37 years at CBS with one emotion, a heart brimming with gratitude for the men and women of CBS News who encouraged and enriched my work, very often at the risk of their own lives. This whole letter is a masterclass in how to basically say fuck you without saying fuck you. You know, all the best to Scott Pelley and to everyone else at CBS who is trying to stand for journalistic integrity and truth and honesty in their disclosures that they made during this program for this programming for this news magazine. That kind of integrity will be sorely missed at CBS and at 60 Minutes in particular. This show's probably not going to survive much past this year. CBS as a network may end up folding after, you know, so many people have started to boycott their products, boycott their shows, like, you know, any streaming products that they're associated with. People are just pulling away from them. And I, for one, applaud that move. We always talk about voting with our dollars just in, you know, public parlance. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if so-and-so doesn't treat you right, don't go there no more. Don't give them your business. Same thing with CBS. If they're going to sit there and actively lie to you and they're going to actively, you know, basically turn themselves into state-sponsored propagandist television, don't watch it. Don't watch it. It's going to suck probably for a little bit, yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing. Once those numbers start shifting, you have to think like these evil people to a certain degree. What is it going to take for them to finally have enough emotional of a financial foot on the nutsack that they kind of go, fine, fuck, all right, we'll bring all the other people back. We'll stop doing this. You can't affect these people with morality. You can't affect them with an impassioned appeal to their better angels because they have none. You can't affect them emotionally or spiritually because you'd have to have emotions in the soul for that to work. So you have to hit them the only place it works, their pocketbooks. And that's the only thing they care about. They care about money, enriching themselves, enriching their flunkies, their cohorts. They care little to nothing for the truth except for when it will benefit them somehow. And then the only interest they generally seem to have in it is in warping it just enough to fit their own read of a situation or their own personal agenda. So it's very empowering to watch people fight back against this kind of thing, though. And I think the more that you see it, the more you go like, you know what? There's some hope. There really is hope. And as we're speaking of hope, one of the things that gave me quite a bit of hope was actually seeing, and this is kind of along the same lines of this story about Scott Pelley and 60 Minutes. A young man by the name of Santiago Campos was set to receive the Mike Wallace Memorial Scholarship Award. It's a $10,000 scholarship for his submission about immigration crackdowns, including stories about his own family. But he goes up on stage to receive the reward and has, like, I mean, if you're ever going to read somebody like this, I want to know about it. But he basically just raked them across the coals. Like, the one I was looking for was actually a full article. But he gives them the business. He basically calls the current iteration of management at CBS a stain on the legacy of Mike Wallace and his memory in creating the scholarship, which is absolutely brilliant. He says one of the great lines was, as corporate elites take hold over the very pipes through which our information flows, journalism that serves people becomes increasingly harder to come by, yet ever more crucial. And what the people want is the truth. I'll link this video as well so you can listen to it. I mean, again, congratulations to this young man for standing on business and all other people like him. You know what I mean? There are lots of people out there in independent media who strive for and attempt to bring you true and unbiased reporting and want to share not only the truth of what's happening, but, you know, I mean, because it's not always comfortable, but also a nuanced view that lets you remember that this is coming from human places. Like the words that are being said to you, the ads that's being disseminated, this information comes from a very human place. And that's it's two things. It's powerful and it's also very vulnerable. Because, you know, being able to relate to somebody is a key skill that people are not really working on developing much lately. We've talked about this before, not just here on the podcast, but I think we've all talked about this in just collective discourse. You know, people are so into their phones or so into data, like, you know, their media and stuff like that, that they start to lose touch with how to interact with one another. And it's not a new phenomenon. It's just becoming increasingly more and more prevalent and more dangerous. But it's also it also requires, like, this ability to bring the kind of news and information and reporting, informational reporting, to people on a level that makes it relatable and understandable. Often requires a lot of vulnerability. You have to put a bit of yourself out there on the block so that people can analyze it, and, you know, maybe they'll like what they see, maybe they won't. So it does require a bit of vulnerability, and, like, that requires also a strength too, a strength of dedication, a strength of purpose, and a strength of character that, you know, quite frankly, is refreshing to see. And this young man, I hope he goes far. I hope he does incredibly well in his future and his studies and his career. This is one of those people we're going to be hearing about in the next, you know, 5-10 years. You're going to start seeing him popping up on, like, your local or international news channels. And I hope that he continues to stand for the principles that he stood on business for when he accepted this reward from CBS, which I think was great. He's like, hey, man, thanks for the money, but by the way, fuck y'all. And he did it in such an eloquent manner that, like, you can't do anything but sit there with the, like, I got caught face. You know what I mean? They're like, oh boy, hand in the cookie jar. We got busted. You can't be mad at it. You know what I mean? There's no way to look at that and go, like, well, he didn't have any right to say that. He had every right to say it. It's a journalism award, and he got it for doing exactly what he's doing right now. There's a regenerative and a rejuvenational property in telling the truth. One, it clears out all the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, because you don't have any time for it after a while. You know, once you're starting to be more honest and open with yourself and with other people, it's harder for you to, one, to be gaslit or to be lied to. And then two, it's harder for you to stomach it when you see it happening around you, which makes you a stronger individual, in my personal opinion. And not even just in my personal opinion, just in my personal experience, like things I've seen, work relationships I've been involved with, relationships I've been involved with, just witnessing humanity in and of itself. The more that you're honest and open with yourself and other people, the less time you have for, the less patience you have for, and the less ability you'll have for being, you know, bullshat. You know what I mean? For someone to sell you a bill of goods, my good man. Like, you'll look around and go like, you're fucking lying. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't have to take that from you. And it puts people on the back foot. They don't often know how to respond to it because, you know, we've learned to accept that sometimes there's little white lies that we could tell in society or whatever that's okay. Sometimes it's lies of omission. I didn't tell you this. Yeah, I didn't tell you that. Maybe it's like, that wasn't mine to tell. That's actually not, I don't think, as much of a lie as it is like, that is not my business for me to be repeating. But there are times when people will outright, like, know this information will affect you and should be something you would know. And they go, I didn't lie about it. I just didn't tell you. Like, you, what do you mean you just didn't tell me? You just didn't tell me the truth I needed to hear. Like, I needed to know that, and you just decided you weren't going to tell me. So you lied to me, especially if you know I was, you know, this is a situation or a piece of information or whatever that I would need to know in order to form or inform my outlook on X, Y, or Z, and you hid that willingly, you're not to be trusted kind of thing. And I think that that's really impressive for this young man to, like, stand on that and be like, no, I want to stand for, you know, truth and honesty and reporting and hopefully in his life as well. I mean, that's wonderful. And I mean, not everybody holds themselves to a high enough standard, but it's fun to see more and more people holding themselves to a better standard. You know what I mean? Like, just looking around and going like, yeah, there's got to be something better than this. There's no way I can allow this to continue to be, you know, my life. I can't continue to live like this, right? It's fun because you see it in, like, you know, in small ways too. Like, I mean, just people going like, we can't continue to let the bullshit win. Like the Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center's back, baby. They got to pull old Donnie T's name off of there, and you know he's not thrilled about that because if there's any one thing homeboy doesn't like, it's losing. And you know he's going to be bent sideways about it. You know, he's going to, you know, do his little accordion hands and make a speech later about, like, oh, you know, I was you know, hoodwinked by, you know, by the Democrats, the Democrats, as I call them. You call them a Democrat because they're dumb and they're Democrats. And I mean, the way he explained how he came up with Democrat was like a third grader could have come up with that. You're not clever. But, you know, it's going to eat him alive. And I'm like, you know, good. Fuck him. not the America 250, which is, of course, I've had to learn this. America 250 is an actually, you know, put on by the American government through an act of Congress, a bipartisan celebration of America's 250th anniversary as a country. Not that one. The Freedom 250, which that's another thing. Again, like, MAGA always tries to sell you some slick shit and they try to slide it in sideways and make it look like, oh man, you all the same thing. Just like how, like, and again, when we're talking about truth in advertising, I've mentioned this before, how a lot of news outlets are calling this this funding of terrorism that they're called the anti-weaponization fund that Trump came up with. That's being shot down, by the way. It's already going. They're like, bye-bye, no more. You're not doing that. They're like, it's a $1.8 billion. No. Don't try to soften this and round this shit up. You know what I mean? You know, this is not, no, we're not doing that. This is not math class. You need to put the actual accounting out there. It's the $1.776 billion fund. That's what they wanted it to say because they wanted to use the birth of our country as a calling card / dog whistle for their racist MAGA bullshit. And every outlet that doesn't call it out is a coward. And they are cowardly. And anyone who's like, it's a one point, no, call it what it is. The reason they named it that way was specifically so it would drive home the point of this is what we're doing. And we're doing it to be ugly and mean and also to sully the legacy of the country. So call them out. Call them for the cowards. Call them for the filthy people that they are. But yeah. I just love that you're seeing that truth come out. They're like, Man, we could have got away with this stuff, Doug, but they got us again. They caught us doing stupid shit, and now we on point, we on blast. Thought we could get away with it, but nope, the people are paying attention. And it's going to be real funny to see these people who haven't figured that out yet, that they can get got to. Like, I saw one of these Latinos for Trump, and that's, personally, I find Latinos for Trump to be just horribly offensive. Now, I saw this person driving around in a truck that said, like, you know, Cuban and proud, blah, 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 and Cuban and conservative. And then it had, like, a Trump 2024 sticker on the back of it and Latinos for Trump. And I'm like, I hate that I have to exist in the same world as you. Just like the whole thing where we said women for Trump is like slugs for salt. Same thing with Latinos or black MAGA people. Yeah, you guys just actively against. You can tell me that you just hate being you, and I'll accept that. You don't have to do this, though. This is just not the look. You can tell me that you hate being Latino. You can tell me you hate being a woman. The gays for Trump was a fucking... I did not know you could do that without actually bursting into flames. I've seen, you know, the black MAGA. That's not a new development. That's been happening since forever. But the gays that were on this MAGA train were really a shock to me. I was like, wow, you don't actually... excuse me, like literally erupt into like a spray of like volcanic ash for being gay and a MAGA conservative. Yeah. It's funny to see how that's coming around to a lot of these folks. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's not ha-ha funny, but it's like funny as I, isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Like Caitlyn Jenner's all up Trump's ass, but when it come time to get her passport switched over to say female instead of male, they were like, no, you're still Bruce to us. It's like, yo, your own government disrespected you, even though you can't stop waving that red and blue, red and blue flag for them. That's pretty telling. And at the same time, while you want, you know, when they say rights for me, but none for thee, right? You want people to respect your pronouns and respect your identity and this, that, and the other. Meanwhile, you opened your entire ass and shit on the entire community. The memories and legacies of all those people who went before you to make it possible for you to stand where you're standing right now and act the way you act, live the way you live, love the way you love. And now you're going to just shit all over them? Fuck you. Fuck you, Caitlyn Jenner. Fuck you. We're not even going to go to the part where you're like, you're a murderer. You kill somebody with your car and you just got to get away with it. We're going to leave that alone. So you're a terrible person anyway, but you're even worse for doing this. You're even more worserer. I'm going to use that. You're even more worserer as a person for doing this. So yeah, I mean, like, but it's coming. It's coming out. And everybody's getting their up and it is coming. Thine uppance is on the way. It happens a lot. This is not funny. But again, isn't it ironic news? Pam Bondi finding out she's got throat cancer after spitting all these lies about, you know, everything under the sun as the Attorney General? Yeah, that's... I think somebody said, I didn't think karma would work that fast. Yeah, it really does. And it's unfortunate because I'm not rooting for the fact that she got cancer. That's not my goal at all. But it is very telling that she had spent so much time with all these lies and all this, you know, filth and defamation coming out of her throat only for, you know, God, the universe, karma, whatever you want to call it, to go, I'm going to need that voice box back. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty fucking telling. That is pretty fucking telling. And the only thing about that kind of stuff, though, is remember when I told y'all that every time they get rid of a woman in MAGA, they're going to replace her with an even more incompetent and, like, groundbreakingly stupid and useless man? That just happened again this week, too. Some of you might remember we talked about Tulsi Gabbard getting ready to leave office because her husband has developed cancer. Also, again, not funny, just kind of bizarre how the universe is trying to take these people out, right? Well, then they get this guy, Bill Pulte, who is supposed to be taking over as Director of National Intelligence. Just a rich guy. Rich guy who loves Trump. Works for a federal housing finance agency. Has no background in intelligence or national security work whatsoever. But he's also called for investigations into Trump's, you know, political opponents. His enemies, as he likes to put them. Fucking dumbass. So yeah, there's another example. A woman gets kicked out of a job, and then they put... That's probably the most DEI thing I've ever seen, is you have a woman in a position where she could actually have an opportunity to make a difference, but instead, it's like reverse DEI. Instead, you kicked her out and put an incompetent, stupid white man in her job. Look, incompetent, stupid white men have been making the world laugh for generations. Just incompetent, stupid people in general, of any stripe, you know, gender identity, sexual orientation, be damned. You know, stupid people make us laugh. They shouldn't be running our fucking government, though. And Trump is just hell-bent on replacing anybody who's going to have any little bit of pushback with somebody who's just going to bend over and spread cheeks for him. There's no other way to really put this without painting the picture that needs to be painted. Like, these people are serving it up for Trump, and he's loving every minute of it. While they debase themselves for just a little bit of his favor, which, I mean, why, really? Even as the president, really? This guy? This is the guy. Okay. This is who you're going to really just bend over and take it up the butt for? Trump? Of all... Okay. I mean, I'm saying it couldn't be me. I'm just saying it couldn't be me, but they just don't seem to have a problem with it. And it's funny to see how people are falling apart. Like I said, with the Freedom 250 concert thing, they couldn't even be straight up about like, hey, we're doing this for Trump as a way to like basically let him self-aggrandize all over the United States birthday. Once people started putting it together, it's funny. They start falling off fast. Till now, I think there's only, like, at this point, there was, like, 9 performers that were slated. There's only 3 that are left that are confirmed and haven't backed out of it. And, I mean, the fact that it's, like, Vanilla Ice, Flo Rida, which I'm like, Flo Rida? Really? And then Freedom Williams from CNC Music Factory. Not even the whole group. Just this nigga. Just... Talk about pathetic, man. Like, everybody else is just like, ugh, no. And it also makes me go back, and I almost want to, almost, not quite, because some of these people I think knew what they were doing, but they just saw how, like, light speed unpopular it was with the public, and people were, like, dropping ticket sales and stuff like that. They're like, no, wait, I'm not pro-Trump, I'm not political, I just didn't know. I think some of those artists back on that Rock the Country tour that Kid Rock was trying to put on knew good and hell well what they were getting into. And they thought it was going to be a good old boy festival, right? You know, just rednecking it up on some Yeehaw America kind of bullshit. And then, like I said, when them ticket sales started getting kind of lean, them Spotify numbers start dropping, albums aren't picking up quite the way, the merch ain't coming off the tip. Oh no. What I say earlier? How long is it going to take before the racist and bigoted and xenophobic and homophobic properties that you're espousing with this MAGA bullshit are going to hit you financially? You got to go like, hey, man, I can't afford to do this. Not like I'm trying to stand on the right side of history. I just literally cannot afford it. You're going to be like Tiger King in it again, right? I'm never going to financially recover from this. No, and you won't, and you shouldn't. It should hurt. It should hurt to be stupid. It should hurt to be evil. It should hurt to be racist. It should hurt to be all these negative connotations that we have when it comes to MAGA and especially conservatism, which is unfortunate that it's come to this, but it is a thing that needed to happen, I'm sure. If only to drive home the point that the cruelty is really the cause here It's never been about conservatism. It's just about being as mean and hateful to as many people as we can because something didn't work out for me once and now I'm mad. Really? That's what we're doing? I have a video that I found the other day and I'm going to put it in the link dump because I'm not about to play it here on the podcast. If you want to go check it out, you can. But I think when I put the comment up there for the video, I was like, I haven't seen a group of white men who are in need of a hug from their fathers. I haven't seen this many white men in need of a hug from their father since Charlottesville. And I stand by that. This group of people who are basically singing this really weak-ass rap song about calling Trump their daddy. Look, for all the stuff y'all people be talking about, like, you know, being all anti-LGBTQ and stuff like that, and, you know, trying to bang on, you know, the gay and lesbian and trans community, y'all really be doing some very, very, very suspect kind of activities. Y'all act in some real weird ways, you know what I mean? Like, for all the protestations to the contrary, I don't know, this shit look a little different. Yeah, I paused for a second so I could go and find the video so I could put it in the link dump for you guys later. But yeah, man, this, I don't think that people quite get it. The Trump derangement syndrome is what, that's the call coming from inside the house. That's what these people who are so in love with and enamored of Donald Trump and MAGA, that's what they're functioning under. They are literally, they're delusional. They are completely delusional. They are deranged. Their sense of self and their sense of their grip on reality, not even just morality, but reality in general, is so warped that as long as it comes out of, you know, Orange Julius Caesar's mouth, they're willing to eat it up, you know? And it's unfortunate because it infects people in such a way that they will perceive themselves to be victims just so they can, you know, adopt a guise or a facsimile of power. When really all it is disappointment, disillusionment, and essentially emotional and spiritual cuckoldry. I have this theory, and I'd say the theory has been borne out. I'm not the only one who ascribes to this theory, but this theory has been borne out over the last, especially the last 2 years. I think that a lot of these conservative MAGA, especially Christian nationalists, they're the worst ones. These Christian nationalist conservative MAGA males, right, are either being henpecked to a degree that it drives them towards the MAGA cult, or they're basically being cuckolded somehow, whether it's actively by, you know, their spouses or partners, or they're being like emotionally or financially cuckolded by this administration, which has actually happened to everybody, but they're taking it mad personally. I think maybe when it happens, unfortunately, this is going to sound mean to my white friends, but it really does worry me about white men in general. When they feel disenfranchised or they feel marginalized or shortchanged or something, they don't look for a way to make the situation better. They lash out. And I'm not sure what that is, but it's not a new concept. It's not a foreign concept. And I'm not lying or making it up when I say it. Anybody who's been anybody on the planet has watched it and they've witnessed exactly how this happens. So you can be upset about what I'm saying, but you can't be upset at the fact that it's true more often than not. Like, there's just anecdotal and probably empirical evidence as well that I don't have a spreadsheet that I've been documenting all this down on, but like anecdotal evidence and like life experience has told me that this is an actual thing that happens. And what happens is when they feel, like I said, like I said, cuckoldry is just one way to look at it. But when they feel that they're being emasculated, or they feel like they're losing power or control or agency over their own lives, or even to some point the people's lives around them, they lash out. And it's also one of the reasons why when they look for a way to feel more masculine, they cheat. They cheat. They switch it up on their wives. I mean, you don't have to look any farther than Kristi Noem's husband, right? Brian Noem. Like, him sitting around wanting to be, in his words, a big titty bimbo slut. With those fake balloon titties under his shirt, they switch up. Lindsey Graham, it's not, Lindsey Graham ain't switched nothing, but you know what I'm saying? Like, very front-facing, you know, Christian, conservative, button straight down, you know, straight-laced, good old clean heterosexual men. As soon as you get them to the RNC when they're out in Denver, woo, they're getting that freak on. They switching up, they're on the down low right there, but they're out loud and proud there. They won't go to Gay Pride Parade, but they'll definitely go to the RNC or whatever and get hogtied in a bathroom somewhere. You know what I mean? It's just like, look, if that's your thing, that's your thing. Just live your truth. That's all we're asking. That's all anybody's asking, really. You know what I mean? Just let us live our truth. Let us live how we want to live. That includes you. If you leave other people the fuck alone, guess what they'll do? They'll leave you alone. They're too busy living their own lives. But I really do think that that's what's happening now. It's like these guys are so, they're so embattled. And here's the thing. It's not like they're losing anything, right? Like, it's not, if you might lose a job or something like that, you know, that's going to happen. That's an economy that's, you know, due to AI, which is a real thing. Turns out, I pulled a thing from CNN. There's like an economist that was looking at like, oh yeah, ever since AI started being introduced into the tech sectors and financial technology sectors, most notably, the loss in jobs over year is on the rise. But these people they feel like they're losing their control. They're losing their agency. Like, you know, we had this country, you know, under our thumbs for so long. What's happening? Oh, the rest of us realize that there's more of us than there are of you. And you're going to have to play nice with everybody here in the sandbox. They're like, but I don't wanna. And they freak the fuck out. Yeah. I mean, it's out there. The truth is literally out there. And then you'll watch it on television. You'll hear about it in the news. You'll see it in your own lives if you're paying enough attention. And I guess my message is to those dudes, you ain't got to be like that. You know what I mean? You ain't got to do all that extra. We're down to like listen to you and to support you and stuff like that. But these chest thumping, overly bravado driven displays of masculinity, we know you're compensating, man. Just let it go. Let it go. See, the funky thing about this kind of shit is though that like you'll see it. You'll see it every now and again. Whether a guy steps out on his wife with a dude or a lady or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you'll see him come back around and be like, well, now we rededicated our lives to God, which means the divorce is too fucking expensive and she ain't got no skills and we got all these kids. That's what that means. And it's just like, dude, my message to you is if you're in a relationship like that right now and you feel like you got to lean towards this, just quit. Leave the relationship and do anything, literally anything else besides that. You know what I mean? Just don't go that Christian nationalist MAGA route. Hey, man, you want to go to a drag show or burlesque show? I'll go with you if it'll make you feel a little bit more comfortable. I'll sit there and I'll watch the whole show with you so that you can just finally learn to relax and, you know, not experience any judgment for being who you are. It's not my thing, but if it helps you, you're one of my homies or something like that, or even if you're not, you're like, hey, man, I want to come out to my folks, but I just don't know how they're going to react. Holla at me. Maybe we can sit down with your folks together and work that shit out. You know what I mean? I'd rather you live free and live your truth however you feel than to resort to, you know, taking your bottled up rage and disenfranchisement and disappointment and heartbreak and lashing out at other people. You know what I mean? If it takes me having to sit through, you know, one of your, you know, if I had to go to you know, a drag show, burlesque show. I got a ticket to, the Pride Parade. I'll go if it'll make you a less hateful, more caring person. I think that's all you guys really want. So let's just agree to do that. Find another, if you can't get to me, find a friend that's like me and is willing to go, hey man, I'll go with you, man. Hey, shit, let's go. Let's go check it out. You know what I mean? You gonna be cool after we do this? All right then, let's ride. Cause the next thing, if that don't happen, you're gonna have this like, you're gonna be the dude who's gonna be building a UFC cage on the White House lawn. I can't believe that there are photographs now that will show up in history books in the next year of a giant WWE UFC style cage arena built on the White House lawn. So we have an open air bare knuckle brawl basically on the White House lawn. But, you know, baby needs her ballroom so she can play pretty pretty princess with all the other pedophiles in Washington DC. I'm not for that shit. And bad at it too. Like, by the way, everybody who's saying like, oh, he's going to build this, make America great again, built. You should have figured it out when he didn't build the fucking wall. He couldn't get the wall built. It wasn't even like it was a big wall. It wasn't even like it was a multi-layered wall. Have you seen the wall? It looks like it's made out of fucking big-ass metal Venetian blinds. That's the wall. That's the wall. And you couldn't finish that. But you're going to finish the White House ballroom? The whole East Wing is what... Who is it saying? I think it was Reese Waters again. Hit him with the... This shit look like Fallujah. Like, it does, man. It looks like somebody flew a plane into the Pentagon. That's what it looks like. And this is the man who's going to make America great again? Hadn't finished the vanity project yet. Not once, not never. Okay. I'm just saying, I want you to realize just how stupid everything you're saying sounds to me. Like, and to everybody else too. And they're like, yeah, we don't believe this. But as long as she gets to dance around in her orange makeup in her pretty little ballroom, we're all good with it, right? All right. Just wanted to put that out there just so you know we all see it. And it's crazy how much stuff is falling apart right now. I mean, like I said, that's falling apart. Blue Origin rockets are blowing the fuck up. Kevin Hart's own roast that he put on for himself. That is wild. That is also another wild thing. The fact that Kevin Hart was so up his own ass that he wanted to have everybody roast him. This is a very Donald Trump kind of thing to do. And then they watched him like talk all kind of racist shit. And you brought Tony Hinchcliffe and Shane Gillis to come up there and talk about you. Bruh, couldn't be me. Could not be me. And watching him try to apologize and moonwalk that shit back like, but no, it's my thing. And I let him do it because I wasn't about to lose the money. Fuck that money. Fuck that money. You said that shit to me on stage. I'm like, hey, man, we got to fight right now. I got to fight everybody here just because I got to. It is my show. That means all the security, I'm paying a check. If they don't come up here and beat your ass with me, guess who's not getting paid? You better get on up here and whoop these boy ass. Like, hey, you better hit Shane Gillis and Tony Hinchcliffe in the throat twice. I better see at least some of that skin on your knuckles at the end of this, at least a little bit. Otherwise, everybody's getting fucking fired. Nobody gets paid. You going home, you getting no severance, nothing. You can't even have a soda on the way out. Fuck out of here. And I was telling my mom would tell me about it because, you know, she had heard about all the scuttlebutt behind Kevin Hart. And it was like, well, you know, I know that he also emceed the roast of Tom Brady. She's like, let me watch that to kind of get a feel for what this is like before I watch this Kevin Hart thing. I tried to watch the Tom Brady roast. My mom's a better person than me. I got about past like Drew Bledsoe, which is maybe like 30 minutes into it. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes or some shit like that. It's ridiculous. I'm going to spend as much time watching the Tom Brady roast as I could spend watching The Green Mile and at least part of Con Air. No, absolutely not. I'll tell you this, though. When you heard people talk about what was going on with that roast, they weren't kidding. When Charlamagne Tha God called him out and said, hey, when Jeff Ross made that joke about Robert Kraft, Tom went up there and told him, hey, man, don't say that shit again. So, and that was his roast. He wasn't putting it on. He wasn't like you, you know, self-aggrandizing yourself. Like, look at how awesome I am. I have everybody come up here and make fun of me because I'm the man of the hour. He's like, that was just Tom Brady just being invited to that shit. And he was like, hey, man, don't do that. It was that quick and easy. What was your problem, Kev? And then Kevin Hart, no, man, come on, see. All right, look, all right, see. So, all right. So, okay, right. I'm like, shut the fuck up. There's a really horribly racist joke that I heard when I was a kid. It's called the Jackass joke. But that is kind of how Kevin Hart was acting. You know, he always called me that. It was just fucking terrible. And I was like, watching him do that, I was like, man. And then some of the other stuff that happened, like, I kind of want to, not here's the thing, I don't want to see it in the same way I don't want to see a train accident, right? Like, I don't want to see a car get blasted in half by a train because I don't want to see that death and destruction. But I kind of want to be informed about it so that I can be like, ooh, that's what happens when you don't pay attention. You know what I mean? Like, Kev should have been like, oh man, I was way out of my mind when I did this, but I did it anyway. And that's kind of how I'm looking at this whole roast situation with Kevin Hart. Like, I don't, maybe by next week I'll have managed to stomach the whole thing and watch it. But I don't know, man. It really, that kind of stuff worries me and vexes my spirit. I don't know if I can put myself through it. We'll see if I can put myself through it. I don't know that I can, but maybe I'll try. Anyway, it's just funny. Like I said, the way that they deflect, the way that they constantly have to like push a false narrative just so they can have something to say is crazy. There's a politician here in state Florida named Jerry Dennings, black guy, and he's running. For I forget which office it is, but what they've done basically is conflated him with Kamala Harris and Barack Obama, and they're calling him, you know, they're calling him like a woke anti-American politician, and he's a DEI hire kind of thing. It really is funny how people use woke and DEI just to say black or gay or compassionate. Like, if you're a person with like a sense of morality and decency, they call you woke as an insult. I'm like, yeah, I'd rather be that than whatever the fuck you are. DEI is just a new way to say nigga without saying it out loud. You know what I mean? That's all it is. You hear somebody say DEI, they're either talking about they want to say a horrible word for a woman or they want to say nigga. That's what it is. And they can't do either of those two things. They'll get knocked the fuck out. So they just say DEI. Keep an eye out for that. I'm giving you that one for free. You see that in the world, you'll be like, oh yeah, Link was right. Trust me. You'll hear it in the world and you'll be like, oh, okay. All right. Just telling you. I see it. I seen it. Anyway. I guess it's part of growing up, you know what I mean? Like, you're starting to see some of this stuff for what it is. And I wonder, like, how much longer it's going to be before I just kind of look at certain people and go, like, I just ain't got it for you no more, you know? I've done it a lot over the last year or two, especially with leaving social media and seeing how, like, really literally watching how much, like, Meta and their push to try to yank as much data from everybody, injecting AI into everything and all this other stuff has actually destroyed a lot of people mentally, emotionally, and financially too, to a degree. You know what I mean? Some people are like, I was doing like this job where I was working for like a social media manager, but I don't need it. I can't do that anymore because, you know, now they just trust, you know, Meta's AI to handle a lot of the back-end infrastructure and management of how the accounts run. I don't have a job anymore. It's going to be really funny when people start working themselves out of a job until it's not. I've warned people all the time about AI. And like I said, when it comes to technology sectors and fintech, I was really just watching this earlier today. And I knew it too, to be true, because I've heard about the firings at various game companies and Disney and, you know, other media companies. Like, we don't need these people. We can have an AI do this job horribly, but it'll at least do it for free. And they're saying like tech and financial technology, fintech, are the two places where people are working so hard to build a robot and build a system that's going to just replace them. Like, it's one thing to build a system that can utilize a certain set of tools or a certain program to, you know, run a calculation or whatever. But when it starts being able to answer the questions for you, it starts being able to fix itself, and it starts being able to, you know, outsource the knowledge base that you have because it has it all, so it doesn't need you anymore. You worked yourself out of a job. What do I need you for? You built me the thing that I wanted to get me all the money that I needed, and now I don't need you to pay. Why would I pay you more money to keep doing this thing and make it work? Why? Just get rid of you and I get all the money for myself. Maybe I'll have to buy your program. Okay, whatever that takes. If I buy you out, then you get nothing else. You're fucked. And I got this thing that you helped make for me. So I have all the money. I've never understood that. I've never understood that concept. But again, what do I know? I'm only just watching it happen in real time. How could I possibly be wrong? How could I possibly be right about that? You know what I mean? Anyway, crazy, crazy shit, man. Crazy, crazy shit. But the world's not all, you know, gloom and doom. It is funny like how shit happens. We actually this podcast is meandering like a mug today. But the other night we were trying to get some dinner here at the crib, and it was really, I've been craving these birria tacos for a while. Now that some people call them quesabirria tacos, and yeah, you can put cheese in them. But you ain't got to, and you don't need to. You can actually just make the meat and the consomme, the little sauce that you dip the tacos in. You can put that meat in the tortilla, dip it, fry it right away, and it'll just be fried on the outside. Just be careful about how you flip them over and whatnot so you don't scatter the meat everywhere. You can do it. I've done it. You don't need the cheese, right? Well, almost every place either uses Oaxaca cheese or they use... I hope I'm saying that right. Oaxaca cheese, or mozzarella, which I mean, first of all, ew. In a taco, ew. I would see if you maybe use like some asadero, or if you used some, I don't know, some cotija, or maybe like I did when I did mine, I did a quesabirria, but I did it with cotija and manchego cheese. And those are both, you know, like a lighter sheep. I think cotija is like cow's milk, but manchego is like a sheep's milk cheese. It's very light and creamy, but when you shred it and mix it in with the meat, it melts in very nicely. And it holds the taco together during like the frying process, right? So I asked this place down the street, Mariachi's. We're going to call them out because that's who they were and that's who fucked it up. Getting the shit done, and I called and said, like, hey, you know, I just need to know if you guys put, like, cheese on the beans or whatever, because I try to make that as an option to not go on there, but a lot of Mexican places just throw cheese on the refried beans. I don't want it. I can't eat it. Yeah, they put a cheese on the beans because, you know, it's like in the kitchen they do that. I'm like, yeah, can you just tell them not to do that, by the way? We're sitting here on the phone. You're a stone's throw from the kitchen. Just walk over there and be like, hey, man, that order, don't put no cheese on them beans. If there's cheese on them, take them beans, give them to somebody else, and give me some without beans. With cheese, it's not fucking rocket surgery, lady. I'm being very polite about this. I'm just agitated right now because I'm remembering it. But like I was like, could you just tell the kitchen not to put any cheese on those beans, please? I can't eat it. If I eat it, it'll make me sick.
Give me a minute. I'll go see.
Give me a... What? Just do it. Don't go see. Tell me, hey, man, if the dude eats this stuff... He's going to get sick or he's going to refuse the order and we're not going to get paid. So how about we don't? And I said, yeah. It's like, and then I said, you know, is there any cheese on anything else?
They use mozzarella cheese in the tacos.
And I'm like, well, can we have them not do that? Like you can actually make those without that. I just don't want cheese in there.
Oh, but you have to because they made some stick together.
I'm like, no, you don't. You can just fry them without the fucking cheese in there. I'll be okay with it. I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm literally asking you as the customer not to do this.
I don't know.
You know, I'm like, you know what? Give me a manager. I need to talk to a manager. I can't. Literally talking to one of the dumbest human beings I've listened to in my life. In the last like 5 years. And I think like maybe it is I don't know if it's necessarily apps or if it's, you know, the fact that people don't know how to interact with human beings because they've been so inured, you know, with social media, or if we're just not teaching our kids shit in the first place. But the whole, like, I'm all shoulders about this, there's nothing I can do. Literally, you can walk in there and be like, hey, don't put no cheese in that. And if they're like, hey, this is going to be fucked up without cheese, then you'd say, hey, man, that's how dude wants them. He just don't want no cheese in them. What do you want from me? He's paying us. Do what he asked for. It's that simple. Finally, I had to get the manager on the phone. I'm like, yo, because they weren't listening. And I'm like, dude, I need you to not make this stuff with cheese. I'm willing to pay you all the money that this is worth to just have it made the way I'm asking for it. It's two simple omissions. It's less cheese you have to spend out. You're still getting all the money. You're not. It's not like I added cheese and asked you to take it off and you're like, oh, we would have gotten $2 extra for it. No, you just don't have to put cheese on this thing. You're still getting paid as much as if it had cheese on it. Just don't put the cheese on it. What is so fucking... All right. The dude gets on there. We try to cancel the order via DoorDash. They're also kind of to blame for this thing too. Because one of the things that they do, we found this out before. If a company or like, let's say like if a restaurant has a menu, right? And they put it up on DoorDash's website. A lot of times DoorDash doesn't include the ability for you to make substitutions or take stuff off for whatever reasons. And they'll say, you know, oh, you've got allergies or whatever, you can put this on here. But then you go to do that and it won't let you operate that particular section. It will just be grayed out. You can't access it. So why is it there? Like if I was at the restaurant, I said, hey man, I can't have cheese on this. And they were like, well, we make them with cheese. I'm like, well, you're not making mine with cheese. And they're like, well, we were making them with cheese. I'm like, well, I'll just fucking leave then. But here, they don't tell you one that these things have. They just said birria tacos. They didn't say quesabirria. They said just birria tacos. It's meat, tortillas, consomme. And lettuce and cilantro, onion and cilantro. That was it. Didn't mention a goddamn word about cheese. If I hadn't called and I got these things, they would have had cheese in them and I'd been pissed. So, you know, after fighting with DoorDash, they weren't going to cancel the order because the restaurant had already accepted the order and they started making the order. And they're like, if you want to cancel this order, you'll get back $6.07. Are you fucking serious? I get back one third because... You can't fucking go like, hey, man, I can't eat this because you couldn't include the thing that says I can't eat this. Don't make it this way. That's on me. Fuck no. Called the restaurant back, had them cancel the order. My wife said she would eat them. I'm like, well, let's uncancel it. Like, it was just a whole fucking mess. I'm like, let's just you get your shit. I'll get my shit and I'll fight with them about it. And she's like, fucking just send them, have them send it, whatever. I'm like, no, because then we're paying them for food that you don't want and I can't eat. You know what I mean? If you decide, oh, this is horrible, I don't want it. Now we've given them money to just throw food away. After all this fucking fighting, I finally get a hold of the manager. I tell him what's going on. I said, I can't eat this food. If you guys are making it, don't, because I can't eat it and I won't take the order. You know what I mean? I'm going to dispute this order. You won't get shit out of this. He's like, all right, we'll just cancel the order. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. He just hung up on me. I'm like, you know what? Now fuck mariachis. Fuck you guys. I was going to be chill about it, but now fuck y'all. Turns out I didn't have to say shit, although I'm going to say it on the podcast anyway. Fuck mariachis on Route 17, I-17 in Green Cove Springs. Fuck you guys. You guys suck. You used to be good and you're trash right now. And I'm really pissed at the lack of customer service or the ability to even make an attempt to provide for a customer who is willing to pay full price for two minor exclusions. So fuck you. But here's what happened. They end up finally having the order canceled because DoorDash finally was like, okay, we understand. Your husband can't eat this food because he'll get sick and go to the hospital. So we got to give you guys something. Not only did we not have to pay for the shit, DoorDash gave us a credit as an apology for having to put up with the hassle of having to deal with their fucking broken system and mariachi's stupid people. So again, fuck you, mariachis. You just lost out. And by the way, we do this about like maybe like once. We used to do it like about three times a month. As people start to get more situated, we're starting to go back to a thing where we have the family around. We usually order Mexican food probably like two or three times a month. Yeah, El Supremo is going to be getting that business forever from now on because fuck you guys. By the way, El Supremo, actually great Mexican food and great meat and food in general. So yeah, you're going to get yours, goddammit. Fuck with me. I'm not playing. I'm not just trying to call people out just for the sake. I'm just being like, I gotta be real about this stuff because it bothers me that people just, they just do whatever the fuck they want and get away with it. No, absolutely not. No. I think that's one of the reasons why I like Mamdani as a mayor. Just like, I see a dude who would be willing to take the L. He's willing to take the, you know, oh, we don't want a Muslim running our New York City. And the people who are the maddest about Mamdani being the mayor of New York don't even fucking live in New York. But this dude is just like really pushing to make the city of New York as great as you think it is when you watch it on TV. Just this week, pushing the approval for 200,000 more units of affordable housing to be revamped and restored and opened up. Pushing for pet-friendly housing for those affordable units too, so that people don't have to give up their cats or dogs or whatever, because that's a part of your life too. And imagine that you're already struggling to just find a place to live. And then they tell you have to give up like one of your, you know, basically your family, right? Like your pets are, you know, I don't say they're like your kids, but I mean, they fit into your heart in such a way that they impact your overall health and well-being emotionally and mentally. And then you have to give your cat away or your dog away because you had to move into an apartment and, you know, that's fucked up. So he's like, no, let's not do that no more. You know, and then we've got Alex Boris from, I think it's also from New York, who wants to tax 100% of any money that any of these January 6th insurrectionist fucks would have gotten out of Trump's anti-weaponization $1.776 billion fund. He's like, if you get any money from that and you live in the state of New York, we taking all that shit. I was like, yo, that's gangster. They're like, you can have it for all about 2 seconds. Then you're going to give it right back to the state of New York because fuck you, that's why. I'm like, hey, yeah, boy, I'm for that. I'm for that. I hate the idea that a single nickel of anybody's taxpayer dollars would go to those assholes. Always talking about you gotta do things the right way and go through the process and blah 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 blah. What do those assholes do? They killed police officers, beat up innocent civilians, and got another woman. Well, she got herself shot for being in there. She had no business being in there. But she didn't have to die. You're just taking it on the chin, you know what I mean? Pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, maybe gone through the right procedures, be alive today, eating cereal right now. I feel badly for your family. I don't feel sorry for you, though. I really don't. And I don't have to, because I don't have to feel sorry for criminals when they get what they deserve. That was a criminal act. You deserve what you got. You should have gotten worse. You should never have gotten a presidential pardon at all. That's going on Trump's record, too. Dickhead. Also, let's do some gaming shit. This is your friendly reminder that Xbox is stealing games of gold for you. Stealing games of gold from you. And if you're paying for Xbox Game Pass right now, you're part of the problem. Just wanted to let you know, just remind you, if you're continuing to pay for Game Pass, you're part of the problem. Don't do it. Just fucking deal. Plenty of other shit out there you could play. It's not going to kill you to not play the Game Pass games. Trust me. And then if the message isn't sent, they will continue to do what they're doing and worse because they don't give a fuck. Again, they're a corporation just like Amazon, just like Meta, just like whatever. So if you keep rewarding their bad behavior, they will keep taking the rewards. You know, speaking of people who are like, you know, hopefully learning, Sony State of Play came out yesterday. I watched that with my homies. It was all right. There's a couple things that were pretty dope. There's not enough in the Sony ecosystem that makes me go like, woohoo, I need that. The new God of War Lao Fei looks great. It looks actually really fantastic. Yeah, Ace Combat always looks good, so there's really nothing to say about that. There's a handful of other things that were there that looked impressive. Kemuri looks really cool. It's like you're basically playing a yokai hunter, and you're hunting demons in Japan and like exercising them and stuff like that, which I'm like, that's kind of dope. It's got a really flashy, fun sense of style, too. There's another one I couldn't remember. It's like Chef Hondo or something like that. It's like supposedly it's a prequel, But it's like a black guy who wants to be like a sushi chef. So he goes to Japan to learn how to make sushi. It looks really cool. Has kind of a little bit of a, oh, what's the vibe I'm thinking of? Something like the WarioWare games meets Parappa the Rapper. Yeah, it just looks really funky and cool. And just like not an original concept to like be cooking food as a game, but just the idea behind it looks like really fun and silly and whimsical. I've liked that a lot. There's a couple other things that were on the docket there that I was like, that's actually pretty cool, but it wasn't like moving me. Like the new Rayman was looking pretty dope. Again, not my kind of game, but I think it's going to be fun for those who are. The funniest thing was everybody crying about, we want Destiny 3. And I was talking to my homie about it. He's like, well, if we get Destiny 3, isn't that what we wanted? I'm like, really? Do we want it from Sony? The same company who stood by as Bungie hate-fucked this franchise into the ground just so they could get pennies off of the live service and stood by idly and did nothing while they lost millions of dollars in development for Bungie to do next to nothing and to make Anthem a mediocre I gave them Anthem. I put the curse of Anthem on Marathon, but they deserve it. They worked very hard to make Marathon mediocre while stealing art assets and, you know, defrauding other artists and using AI design and voiceover to do it. That's the Sony we want to run Destiny 3. I'll be late for that. Like, if another studio gets a hold of it and wants to take it in a direction that makes sense for the property, I'm fine with it. But fuck that. Sony doesn't deserve to have it anymore. I really wish that, I hope that this venture capital, I want like a cool dude like Mark Cuban to be like, hey, you know, I don't know a lot about video games, but I know that these people want this. You're going to make it this way because I'm putting my money on it. Like, all right, Mr. Cuban, whatever you say, sir. Yeah, and get a good first-person shooter studio who also has some experience with, you know, RPG and MMORPG online, you know, massive, just online shooting games in general. That's not Activision. You know what I mean? That'd be dope. Well, a guy can dream, I guess. I guess a guy can dream. I don't know what else to say about that. It just really bugged me that people were like, we want this. I'm like, you don't want it from Sony. You definitely don't want it from Sony. They will ruin this thing if they have a chance to get a hold of it. They will definitely ruin it. I do think the new Star Fox will actually be good, though. I've noticed, look, just we're kind of bouncing around with video game shit here. I saw a video where somebody was talking about some of the designs for the characters in the game. And I hadn't really seen anything of it. I saw that one shot where Star Fox looked kind of busted and raggedy. He did kind of look like the taxidermied fox you see sometimes with its hands up like, wah! He did kind of look like that. But yeah, overall, the look I think is actually better. I think it's better than any of the looks that he's had for Smash Brothers or any of the other games. I know people love Fox McCloud and they love the Smash Brothers look, but like honestly, this does look like, on the whole, to me, it looks for the physiology, it looks better. Even though the humanoid torsos with the hands and arms and stuff like that do look funky and weird to a certain degree, it looks funky and weird in a way that's unique and not scary. You know what I mean? There's another game called Biomutant that has a similar design aesthetic, and I like that one too. The thing I think they did better than Star Fox has done is that they made the facial features a little bit more cartoony. I think that if you made Fox's eyes a little bit more cartoony than like more Fox-like and as narrow as they are, it might endear people to them a little bit more. But outside of that, I think the designs are fine. I think they look actually better than the original designs, in my personal opinion. But, and again, I don't know. If you've got access to Star Fox, or if you see anything about it, you got curious, you got some thoughts about it, hit me up on Patreon so I can holler at you about it and see what's up. Yeah, I'd love to hear what you guys think about it, too. Because, you know, games are fun, and I want them to remain fun. I want to do fun stuff with video games. And technology too, as long as there's no AI in it. Ooh, 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 ooh. Speaking of which, two things of tech on the tech world. I recently got the YouTube Music app, and I don't know that I love it. I think it's okay. I like the ability to pull songs from YouTube to use in a playlist. But some of the scrolling on it is weird. Like, it resets itself in the middle of a scroll while you're looking through a playlist. The UI is not great for, like, letting you know how to, you know, add a song versus, like, add this whole album to a playlist kind of thing. Sometimes I just want just a song from the thing. So it could be a little hinky at times. I don't hate it. It's just, it's going to probably take a while to get used to this and be like, I figured it out. But, I mean, outside of that, shit, I don't know. I like Pandora, but I don't like Pandora. Mainly because, you know, even if you take an offline playlist, it'll just cut itself off for some reason when I walk into certain stores. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's something that the stores are doing to actively dampen signal in those areas. But I hate it. I will leave as fast as I can when I get into a place like that. I noticed that Publix is really big on that now, and I don't know why they're doing it, but it's really fucking aggravating. Especially if I'm listening to something, I'm like, I've already downloaded this. Why is it not working? And they're like, we just dull all your data while you're here. I'm like, fuck that. That means you're doing something. Whatever you're doing is powerful enough to shut my phone off to make it not do this. That means you're doing something to my body and the food that I'm getting here too. I don't like the way that functions at all. So we're going to not do that. What we are going to do, hopefully, is see the passing of this California Assembly's Protect Our Games Act. And I think that this might actually end up being a shining beacon for gamers and stuff in the future. And hopefully it will save online / digital gaming as we know it. Some of you may be familiar with my very storied arguments against digital gaming. Primarily for the reason that a lot of times almost all the time, you don't own this game. And particularly if there's an online component to this game, once they decide as a company, whoever it is, that they're not going to support it or back it anymore, you got no more game. And that is very dangerous and very scary. However, the California State Assembly has passed a bill that they're trying to get pushed through. I think they want to take it up to the higher levels of government for, I think it's not just for to put it into law, but also to put it on a ballot, I think is what they're going for. I was looking at it, I'm like, this is crazy. So this is a games preservation movement, they said. It was sparked by Ubisoft cutting down the open world racer, The Crew, this past March. And so that means you have no access to this multiplayer or single player content because it's always online, right? So there is no way for you to play this game at all because of the completely online nature of the game. But the publisher started revoking your licenses to the game, which meant that, like, even if you had a license and you were probably, I don't know, maybe you're going to tour it or somehow be able to pirate this thing, you wouldn't be able to do that because you wouldn't be able to upload the game to a private server. So you couldn't upload the code to the private server so people who bought this game, or so they thought, would be able to continue playing it. So they're saying, like, you have to leave the titles. Now, this thing has driven it. Like, if you make this game and you make it to be an always online game, then once you decide that you're not going to keep making content for this game, you have to keep the servers awake at least. Because that's the only way people can play the content. They said if you don't do that, you have to give the people a refund for the content they bought. So it's already at the California State Senate. It's going to move on and needs more public support so it can become law. Here's how they worded it. Let's go ahead and lay it down. If it moves into law, it will, quote, require video game companies to give players advance notice before shutting down server-dependent games and provide a way to keep purchased games playable afterwards, such as offline access, community servers, or another workable option. That's crazy. And here's one that's this should make you mad. The Electronic Software Owners Association, ESA, remember the guys who used to make E3 happen? Are fighting against it. They said many games depend on evolving technology, licensed content, and online systems that change over time. This bill could force developers to spend limited time and resources keeping old systems running instead of creating new game features and tech. In the end, the policy doesn't reflect how games actually work today. The bill sets strict rules that could ultimately mean fewer new and innovative experiences for players. Fuck you, first of all. I don't know if you looked around, but live service games have been running off for a hot minute. And if you're worried about the poor developer having to spend money, oh my god. Gaming is a multi-billion dollar industry. Miss me with all that bullshit. Hey, do what every other goddamn game does. Put a couple of, you know, microtransaction skins in the game. Let people buy them. Call it a day. Use that. Call that the cost of doing business. Maybe you don't make any new ones. Maybe you just make a couple other extra ones and like just slowly leak them out over time so people have a reason to keep coming back. You know what I mean? The Stop Killing Games movement says of the bill, this is the same fight as in Europe. A grassroots consumer movement asking for basic end-of-life protections versus the industry lobby trying to preserve the right to sell games that can later be rendered useless while still preserving control. So I hope that this actually becomes law, because that will set an incredible precedent for just communities around the globe, you know, to fight back and be like, hey, yeah, like people like myself, people who bought fucking Anthem thinking it was going to be the next, maybe not a Destiny killer, but like the next cool multiplayer game for you and your homies to get on, and only to find out that, you know, not only did they not try to save Anthem, they actively killed it. And now we're just out all that money that we spent on that game. No refund, no answers, no nothing, just it's dead. Can you imagine? You know what it made me think of? It made me think of DivX as a digital delivery system for film and video. So if you guys don't remember, DivX was this weird little codec, and it was designed to basically keep people from stealing DVDs from Redbox. What would happen is you would rent a DivX video, and you'd be able to watch it, like, I think it was like 3 or 5 times after renting it, and then it would delete itself. You have to send back this disc that would have like, it would just be a blank disc after a while. Then they would re-encode it with the content again and send it back out. But imagine if you had bought a DivX, like, let's say you didn't rent it like you were meant to. Let's say you accidentally bought a DivX video and then you had it, you watched it like 3 times and it goes, this content is no longer available. $25 later, you lose your fucking mind. And imagine you've done that exact same thing, but you've spent, I don't know, let's take a small example for, you know, just out of nowhere. I don't know, like something like Destiny, where you've invested over a decade of your life playing the game, supporting the ecosystem, spent hundreds, thousands of dollars purchasing upgrades, DLC, buying cosmetics for the game, you know, evangelizing the game to friends and family. So much so that you built an entire community centered around playing it. And then one day they just pull the plug and go, no more Destiny. It's gone. Bye-bye. You mean to tell me after I spent, you know, probably over the years, close to like $4,000, $5,000 on this thing, it's just gone? I'm going to get my $5,000 back. You could take that however you want to, but I'm getting my fucking money back. And that's what this bill is looking to prevent. That very attitude right there. Like, hey, you took it from, I'm taking from you then too. I know your CEO can't drive all them goddamn cars. Because some people are like that. And some people will show up on a company's doorstep and be like, hey, put them up. You can break yourself off of them shoes. Them Nikes are mine now. Just some straight up gangster shit. Just you get robbed for your shoes just because you shut down somebody's favorite video game. That's a stupid way to go out. But it would happen too. Somebody would do it. Somebody would do it. Also, and like, not going to give a review here, but if you're curious about it, I went to go and see The Mandalorian and Grogu yesterday. And I think that this is one of those moments where even, like I said, even people that you usually would trust to review something, you can't really trust them all the time. there's a couple people I knew who are Star Wars fans and stuff like that. And here's, I'll say this too. A lot of Star Wars fans can be the worst fans of the fandom because they'll gatekeep stuff that doesn't really require their protection. You know what I mean? But if you liked The Mandalorian and you liked, you know, when Grogu got shown up into the series, you're going to like this movie. If you didn't like it, you won't. Because everything that people liked and didn't like about the series as a whole is in this movie. It's essentially just two episodes of the show smashed together to turn into a movie. And to be quite honest, I think when I said this the other day, I think one of the things that people are really more upset about, and they're not really voicing this point as eloquently as they should, is that people are getting really irritated about their favorite television franchises ending or favorite series ending as like a feature film. You know, like give us an actual series finale, but don't make us have to go and sit in a theater and watch this shit or make the last part of it a 2-hour long movie we got to sit through. And I think like, you know, there are shows that do make like the giant maxi episodes. I think like Stranger Things and Game of Thrones have done those giant maxi episodes and just kind of like, we'll keep running the story, but they're not going to be, you know, like 45, 50 minute episodes. They'll be like an hour and a half. We'll do like 4 or 5 of them. So you could add a little bit more content or make this season's episodes a little bit longer. So we have more content per episode, but we're winding it down. I think people are really not thrilled about that, you know, because it does feel like you're rushing too much storytelling into one pocket, and then it doesn't end up getting the service that it deserves or that the fans would hope for. I think that might have been part of the issue that people had with the Mandalorian and Grogu, but you know, without giving any spoilers, it seems like even if they're done with this franchise on the whole, I'll stand by my contention. It's basically just two episodes slammed together. And for all that's in it, you probably could have made 4 very high quality episodes as opposed to one, you know, pretty okay movie. I would say if you were going to rate it on a 10 scale, it's like a 7.5 to 8 out of 10. It's like a 4 out of 5 stars kind of thing. But it's kind of shaky just for all the reasons that people did love the franchise and didn't love. That's all in there. Like, I'm not a big fan of the music. Now, the opening theme for The Mandalorian is great. I don't like the music that they shoehorn into these new Disney shows, trying to make it sound like more pop, you know, more rock, more, you know, synth or whatever. Like, you're leaning into a certain genre for whatever thing, and it doesn't really work. You know, the John Williams scores, maybe you don't have anybody with the caliber of John Williams to make the music, but there's got to be somebody close who can make music that represents like a bustling cityscape versus like a desolate, you know, desert planet versus a densely populated forest planet, whatever, right? Somebody should have the mechanical and musical knowledge and skill to create music that fits those worlds. Unless, like what we've heard, you guys are deciding to just fire people and choose, you know, AI-generated music and properties over actually having creative people do creative shit. If that's the case, well, makes sense why your stuff sounds so weird and out of place. And again, I'll use this as a warning to my fellow creatives out there. The more you indulge in this AI-generated content creation, the more you're working yourself out of a job. And if you don't believe me, ask the people who just got laid off over the past month over at Marvel. Ask them how they feel about AI. When they were using a lot of that, a lot of those processes to animate some of the work that they were doing for Marvel television show, ask them how they feel about it. Ask them how they feel about that. Okay? And just remember, that's just one example. There are multiple examples out there. And you can work yourself out of a job if you want to. But just remember, we don't live in Star Trek yet. So there's no universal basic income. There's no universal health care. You know what I mean? You lose job, you lose everything. So keep on working yourself out of a job if you want to. Just going to let you know right now, it won't be me. I will find a way to make this shit work. One way or another, I will find a way to make what I'm doing work. I refuse to work myself out of a job by submitting to a technology that's just hell-bent on providing a cheap and tawdry facsimile of my own creativity to somebody for free 99. You don't want to pay me? Fine. Fuck you. There's somebody out there who will. But if you want to keep using this shit for free, just remember, when your favorite artists quit making art, quit making music, you'll be left with what you supported. Just a friendly reminder to you. You can have it, you can't have it both ways. It's got to be one or the other. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not, like, I can't white knight this really, but I started using a new browser recently called Zen, Z-E-N, and it's very easy to find. And it does take a little bit of getting used to, but the one thing I'm really intrigued by is that they don't shoehorn in an AI product for you to read websites for you to tell you how you're supposed to, what you're supposed to get out of all the choices that you could select. They go, this is a browser. You look through the internet, you figure it out. Look for the shit if you want it, find it. And they'll let you use the other shit too. They're like, hey man, you can use it, but you can use ours. Ours works just fine. And the only thing I think that is kind of a downside for this browser is that it won't let you play streamed content or anything that requires digital rights management. So you can't play, you know, you can't use it to watch Netflix or, you know, God forbid you're watching Disney Plus, but Disney Plus or, you know, Crunchyroll or whatever at present. But they are working on getting their license for the Widevine extension that allows you to be able to broadcast it through their server, through their browser. So just keep your eyes out for that. I think there's a beta version that's coming up or available right now, but it's free 99. It's worth giving it a shot. It's very smooth to look at. Just the overall appeal of it for me is just that it's very calm, very stripped down. But at the same time, it's feature rich enough that I don't feel like I'm using a mobile browser on a laptop. Now, I don't know that they're gonna ever really do a mobile browser for this. If they do, it probably will end up winning. Just because I like the ease of use. And anything that can get rid of Google, fucking yeah. I don't know what the hell that is. Why is this going crazy? Give me one second. I think my phone just heard me talking shit. Yeah, I don't know if or when they're going to offer a mobile app, but if they ever do, it might just win. Like I said, especially if they get that Widevine support, I'll drop all this other shit like a hot rock. It's got such a clean interface. It takes a little getting used to have your tabs aligned on the left side of the screen as opposed to being up above you, you know what I mean? Up on the top of the screen, and your search bar is over to the left. It's kind of like, you know, left adjusted, but I think it's pretty cool. Just the pared down look of it, and it's soft, muted kind of colors for the browser windows. Yeah, it just feels like a much less hectic streaming experience. And once you get used to some of the systems they've layered in and the structuring of it, it can be really comforting. I'm not 100% on it yet, but everything I've seen so far, I've liked. Like I said, with the exception of not being able to stream video, 6 to 1, if dozen the other, right? I just probably need a break from like the old, the same old, you know what I mean? Shit, probably need a break from just this in general. Is that the cat? Hold on. She can't be wanting breakfast. She don't want nothing except that the door's closed. Hi. Did you want to just come inside and say hello? No? You just wanted to be in here while I was doing stuff? Oh, now you want to get out. That's what I thought. Yeah. She would probably stay around for the recording if I left the door open, but I can't really count on that because then she starts yowling like an idiot. Anyway. So yeah, check out Zen Browser. You know what? I'll actually put a link to it in the show notes. It shouldn't, I mean, you guys be, I think you're all smart enough to find it without having to include a link, right? It's literally just called Zen Browser. I don't have to put a link in there for that. Yeah, you guys can find it. Yeah, maybe I do need a vacation. I need some range time. That's what I really need. Oh, speaking of ranges, I actually got to see somebody stream the other day, and I want to give them a special shout out. The WAF was supposed to go on a trip, and the trip got canceled literally at the last minute. She had maybe like an hour or so before she was supposed to get on the plane, and I was almost all the way back to the house when she called and was like, guess what? They canceled the fucking trip. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, I'm not going to have you turn around and come back to get me, because that would be in the car for another 2 hours. It's like an hour round. It's an hour one way. So I'd have been in the car for like 4 hours just driving back and forth, burning gas. She's like, it's going to suck. But if I take an Uber, you know, the company has to pay me back for this at some point. So we'll just do that. I'm like, all right, fine. And she got in the car with this young lady and they started to get to talking. And the subject of gaming came up. Turns out this lady's a gamer. And just did her life a solid, you know, just like, you know, chit-chatting and kind of lifting her spirits during this really weird, you know, confluence of events that culminated in her just like having packed for a trip and getting prepared for this trip only to not have to take it. All this time and effort and gas wasted, but made a new friend, and their name is Astaflex. I said Astaflex at first because I heard it was Astaflex. I'm like, all right, so Astaflex, you can find them at twitch.tv/Astaflex. Yeah, Astaflex. Really cool, great gaming content. I mean, if you love Warzone, you're going to really love this streamer. And she just has like a really fun community. There's a that's down there kicking it, blowing stuff up, talking shit, and it's hilarious times. I had a great time over at her channel, and I hope you guys will too. So go over there, give her a little bit of love, tell her I sent you, and yeah, maybe we can get her on the, maybe we'll get her on the pod one day. Who knows? Yeah, then we are at the summer convention season. So we're going to wind this up with a couple of notes for the summer convention series. As we're in these times, here are the reminders. Here we go. One, wash your ass. You have got to take showers. You have to use hot water and soap on all the parts and bits and cracks and crevices. Do this daily. During the summer, you might need to do it 2 or 3 times, depending on your stink quotient. And if you don't think you stink, you probably do, so take one anyway. Even just laying around the house throughout the day, your body, no matter who you are, just know, I've done this myself and I've been like, this is fucking disgusting. Just laying around the house without taking a shower, your body still is shedding skin, hair, sweat, and it's all these sebum, the natural oils that come out of your skin. It's all on your clothes. It's on your blankets. It's on your sheets. It's on your sofa. You need to wash your ass. You need to wash your clothes. So make sure you wash yourself every day, top to bottom, all the nooks and crannies. Get under them fucking fingernails. I swear to God, I don't know how many times I've seen somebody come out of a shower and still have dirt underneath their fingernails. I'm like, get back in there. What have you done? Few things are more repulsive than somebody who, especially if they're serving food. If they're serving food or working with your children or anything you're going to put into your mouth, into your body, or they're handling your children, and they got dirt under their nails, I will scream. Wash your fucking hands. Get under your nails. Get a little nail brush. Get a little toothbrush. Put it in the shower. Don't use it for your teeth. Just use that toothbrush in the shower to get underneath your fingernails and toenails. Wash them shits clean. Get the shit from underneath them. Use deodorant. You don't have to use, you know, body sprays. You don't have to use perfumes. You don't have to use essential oils all over yourself, whatever. You need to use some deodorant. I hate to tell you, if you need the aluminum, get the aluminum. You know, you're not gonna live forever, so you're not gonna remember all of it. So get the aluminum, man. Whatever you gotta do to get the stank off you, because this is not cute. Climate change is real, no matter what anybody tells you. It was 95 degrees just a couple days ago. And you could smell it. When you walked outside, you could smell it. You didn't have to be near people to smell them. So deodorant. If you need a body spray, get a body spray. You need cologne, perfume, get it. I don't give a damn. I don't care if you smell like the entire perfume counter at Macy's, as long as you don't smell like you without a shower for a day and a half. Do that. Here's another one. Brush your fucking teeth. I know American medical care is shit. You know, dental care is even more expensive and harder to come by for a lot of people. But the very barest of minimums, you can floss, you can brush, and you can carry some mints or some Listerine with you. They make little bottles of it. They sell at Walmart or Publix or CVS or Walgreens. For 99 cents, you can get a little bottle of Listerine. If you ain't got nothing else, you can get two hits off of that thing over the course of a day. Buy five. You know what I mean? If you don't have any, come to me. I will find $2 or $3 to get you some Listerine and maybe a little travel deodorant. Please, please, for the love of all, brush your fucking teeth. Especially if you're going to be eating or drinking anything, brush your teeth immediately afterwards. It's a must. You have to get, it's a must that you not be musty around me. I will make fun of you. I can't deal with it. It does make my eyes water. It makes me nauseated. And I have a very strong stomach, but I just get disgusted because I think about whatever else is on you. Whatever else you've done. And if that's your life, I don't want anything to do with it. And here's another thing. Follow the lines. Don't be one of these got to push ahead of other people. You know what I mean? Line jumping dickheads. There's going to be people who are going to be waiting to get autographs, maybe purchase merchandise. Maybe they've been waiting for hours. Maybe there's a ticket line. Look, don't jump the line. Pay attention in the line. Keep it moving. If you see traffic, same kind of thing. The comm traffic has a certain flow to it. Follow it or get the fuck out of the way. Nothing makes a motherfucker madder than when you just stand in there for no reason, just blocking traffic. Especially some of you folks who do like cosplay or you're carrying like backpacks or whatever. Get the fuck out of the way. Stand off to the side, stand in an aisle, stand in a corner, stand in the hallway, stand in the bathroom. Move! Just get out the way. No, I'm not going to do the ludicrous thing. Ludicrous, kiss my ass. But yeah, get the fuck out of the way. It's not that hard. You know what I mean? And then if you see somebody who's in need of something and you got it, offer. Even if they don't want it, at least offer. Like you see somebody and you're talking to them and you notice that those little heat waves are starting to emanate from their face. Like when you stand outside in a hot parking lot for too long and the summer heat is waving and you realize it's their breath. Offer them a mint. Offer them some gum. Offer them a mask. So they can smell their own breath instead of you having to smell it. If the same thing is happening to their armpits, offer them some deodorant or some Axe body spray. Maybe they just need some water. If you have an extra bottle, give them one. But be kind and help one another. Somehow. For me. For you. For all of us. A couple little things to go off out. There's a video I'm going to drop that you guys are going to probably want to see. There's a dude with a pink plastic go-kart that he made because he's like, gas prices are getting out of control, son. He's like, but this thing, get X amount, get something crazy. It's like, you know, 15 miles to the gallon or whatever. So he could just fill up his little go-kart and he put like a pink Barbie-style go-kart or like, you know, the little Scooty Puff carts and he put an actual, like he modified it to put an actual like lawnmower engine in the thing. They can zip around on this bad boy pretty good. And he drives it up to the gas station. He's like, as long as I stay off the highway, just stay on the side roads, the police are like, hey, I get it. You know what I mean? One, it's funny. Two, it's bright pink, so you're not going to miss it. And then three, you know, I think he only just rides it during the day just to go get groceries and whatnot. But he's like, yeah. He's like, I spend like, you know, maybe $2 in gas on this thing every week. Like that. That is whimsical. But funny, but also just kind of shows the kind of ingenuity that humanity is capable of when we use our brains to think for us. You know what I mean? It's like, I got a problem. And unlike Vanilla Ice, I'm actually going to solve it. Let me go ahead and put this little go-kart inside of this little Scooty Puff machine and just zip on down to the gas station. And homie's doing it. And it's awesome. I love it. And I think you guys will love it too. So check the link dump for that. And then lastly, I'm going to leave you some advice that I got. This is actually really cool. I was shopping, picking up some stuff. And I don't talk about like my digestive issues with just random people. But while I'm getting my stuff at the grocery store, this young guy who was bagging the grocery goes, "Hey, man, you smell that?" And I was like, "Oh, my God, it can't be me. I put on deodorant and I brush my teeth and I use body spray. It's not me. And my clothes are clean," which I forgot to mention. Wash your clothes. If you need to, wash them in vinegar and then wash them again in soap, but wash your clothes. But yeah, I'm like, "It's not me. I'm not the stank one around here. It ain't that." And he goes, "Nah, man, it's the bakery. They're making fresh chocolate chip cookies right now." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I do smell that. I've been trying to block it out because I can't really eat the cookies right now. Like, I want to, but trying to, like, you know, one, I didn't tell him, like, my stomach issues. If I eat these, you know, wheat flour cookies, I'm going to explode in the store." But I'm like, "Yeah, trying to lose a little weight. Summer's coming. Got some stuff I want to do. Maybe want to eventually go to a pool or beach and not be, you know, 220-something pounds at 5'8". You know what I mean? And I'm not on the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars O-line." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." He's like, "But their cookies are so good." I'm like, "I had them back in the day. I used to get them every now and again." He's like, "But you know what it used to be for me? It was cinnamon rolls, man. I love a good cinnamon roll." And like, I look at it and I go, like, "Man, I know I can't eat that. I know I shouldn't eat that. But I would fight somebody for a cinnamon roll some days just because I miss it so much." And the older guy who's ringing up the grocery goes, "Hey, kid, get the cinnamon rolls." I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You don't know how long you got on this earth, man. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm like, why would you want to die today knowing you could have had a cinnamon roll? Go get the damn cinnamon roll, kid." That's the kind of wisdom that comes with age and experience. And a full appreciation for just how fragile and flimsy life truly is and can be. And I just want to say thank you to that guy to remind me that, you know, yeah, I know I get in my head about the podcast and, you know, work and life and struggling creatively and, you know, mentally and emotionally and spiritually and all that stuff. But the guy's right. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to get the cinnamon rolls. Love you guys. I'll catch you a little further on down the line. Peace.